That's the goal of the show every day, is to make you bump, bump, wiggle, and shake your rump. Hmm.
So this was played at the wedding that I was at in Arizona. I didn't know how to dance to it. I tried to go with the dice.
You kind of hurt yourself now doing that dance. They played this at summer camp in 1991. You know,
the dance floor, when you're jumping that much, it's not good on the old knees at 45 years old. So you got to do other things to take part in the festivities. I just don't jump it as much as I used to.
Hell, it hurt
me. So I just diced it up. Can't overuse the dice, as we learned in Knocked Up, but still.
So you're saying people in the wedding party were not coming off whack?
It could have been a little bit more wiggity-wiggity whack, but not as much as I thought it would be. A little disappointing.
Some of them try to rhyme, but they can't rhyme like this.
These dudes are as old as
that part of the song when I was younger blew my mind.
You know what blew my mind yesterday? Whitey Herzog, the late Whitey Herzog, probably the best manager in the history of the Royals. The first three playoff appearances were with Whitey Herzog. Now, Ned Yost might have something to say, Dick Houser. But Whitey, who passed away at the age of 92, also of the final breed of well-known sports figures that appear in beer commercials. Like him and Jack Buck were in a Bush.
The Anheuser-Busch one.
I actually almost sent it to you guys. I was like, this is too good. I don't want to forget it.
Do you know what he did in the offseason while he was playing? Whitey Herzog sold pantyhose.
Oh, really? I did not know that. Like a bra salesman.
Yeah, take that, Joe Namath. Yesterday on the Twitter, they had a great Vin Scully story of Whitey and Satchel Paige. It was like a four-minute story during an at-bat, and thanks to a bunch of foul-offs, he was able to continue it. And then when the at-bat finishes, was right as the story ended, he thanked the guy batting for fouling off.
That's baseball
pitches.
Broadcast porn right there.
Yeah. Anyone who hasn't, find it, and it'll be guaranteed to put you in a good place.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, rust in paradise,
Whitey. I will find that. I will find that.
I now know what a double steal is.
Those older baseball managers that could just tell story after story in spring training, they would just hold court. We are losing those people.
Because
managers nowadays, even if they've been in the game for a while, they're not as chummy with sports writers and broadcasters. Will they just stand around and just tell stories like they did back in the day?
The two big regrets that I have in the sport of baseball is never getting a chance, not being born early enough to see Mickey Mantle play or being able to ever meet Mickey Mantle. And then secondly, was never being able to ever have a conversation with Earl Weaver. Because that would be a lot of fun. Probably be a lot of profane.
12-pack of beer.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd have some heaters. There's,
I just want to hear about what he would think of Angel Hernandez. You know,
that's probably the conversation that was going on when Whitey got to the pearly gates. I don't know either.
Earl was right there to welcome him.
Apologizes to Don Dinkinger.
Let's talk about these umpires this day and age. Come on.
It's, you know, think about Mickey. I mean, he really was never the same after Kramer punched him.
It's true when he went to the fantasy camp.
Mickey!
Between that and Joe Duncan at Dinky Donuts. God.
Yeah, Whitey once turned down Billy Haywood.
That's true. Whitey Herzog turned his down.
So, so there's a good story here real quick. Why Mickey Mantle was mentioned in like a handful of Seinfeld episodes.
This has got to have something to do with Larry David.
Yeah, Larry David was a huge Mickey Mantle fan. Okay. And he said in an interview one time that he was his favorite Yankee of all time.
Okay.
And so Mantle sent him an autographed ball. So Larry David started to work him into episodes.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, because isn't Jerry Seinfeld, he's actually more of a Mets guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Here is, we've had positive Phil today and Nebraska ball Mike.
Great day. Might have the sun later.
Yeah. Hello.
We need random Mike too.
Hey, if I said to you, what's up, brother? Would you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I can tell you that Chris Cross was in. I flashed back to sixth grade.
Yeah.
92.
So you were wiggity whack back in sixth grade.
I heard it every day on the hour on every radio station that was top 40.
Okay. Third grade, Mike. I agree. Yep, that's how it was.
You want to drop a little tune? I mean,
no.
Sure.
No.
You could rap.
They were talented kids, but you know. You know, I heard it enough. You know, I don't want to. That's one of those odd things about music back in the day.
Did you wear clothes backwards?
No.
I think you're missing out.
Did you prefer Jump or Warm It Up, Chris?
Jump.
Okay.
All right. Jump.
I don't know. Chris Bryan brought back Warm It Up, Chris.
Learned something new about you every day.
I missed the hell out of Old Chicago.
Yeah?
Old Chicago downtown was the first legal drink I ever had.
Oh.
Actually, me too. It was part of my 21st bar crawl, but go ahead.
When you went there, especially when downtown, the bartenders could make you anything, but it was expensive as hell to have a night out.
Oh, I know. They could make a lot of shots.
What they were doing. And when I got older, the one on Cat Street was right next to Brazenhead. So,
yes, it was.
St. Patrick's Day used to be between Old Chicago and Brazenhead. That was a blast.
Yep.
And something happened where they changed the corporate structure of it and took a whole bunch of beer out, changed it all.
Yeah.
And took the soul out of the place.
Yeah. That was, I think the one on Cass was pretty popular and just kind of disappeared without warning.
Yeah. I was not happy when I found that out. Because I can't do St. Patrick's Day over there anymore.
No. Did you ever get on the World Beer Tour?
I tried. I never finished it.
Yeah, see, I'm with you.
How many beers did you get in? Because you had to do 110. I got to 110 and got on the Hall of Fame.
Half of Fame. A dozen, maybe.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get down there enough.
Yeah.
You do the mini tours, but not the full. Yeah, me, you and me.
Yeah. So you didn't make it. You didn't make it to Cooperstown. You just made it to Schenectady.
Yeah.
Got mentioned.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. Just, you gave me a flashback to 12 and 21.
I loved it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great week.
You're welcome. You too.
Mm-hmm. Crisscross and Old Chicago, bring it out. So,
all you guys inspire me. I'm going to go find my 2007 Summer Beer Tour Championship t-shirt or whatever.
If you were around Old Chicago in downtown Omaha in 2000?
Nope.
And if you ever noticed that between the month of January and February that they refelted the pool table, yours truly had something to do with that on my 21st birthday. Apparently vomit doesn't go well on the pool tables.
Oh, I thought you were drawing up plays.
Nope. I wish I was.
Yeah. Look at this option.
And Nebraska Ball Mike is right. They'll make just about anything at the bar. At least they did. Yeah. That was not my proudest moment, but it was my 21st birthday bar crawl. So what can you do?
A lot of firsts today. People remembering like your first drink. Chris writes in, I met my first wife at Iguanas. Remember Iguanas?
Oh, Iggy Juice. I do remember that. Between Cliffs and Iguanas.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but looking at you two's faces.
I stayed away from there.
Which one?
Iggy's? Iguanas.
Iguanas? Okay.
Yeah. I said my first wife, and yes, quality of establishment pretty much mirrors the quality of that marriage. Is that, you know what, is that true? Like, if you are divorced, whether it be a guy or a gal, if you go back and you remember where you first met that person, does it have any impact on that marriage coming to an end? Like, mine was Village Inn. Village Inn off of 48th and Lincoln.
So you're looking
and
for
I
some
like
type
Village
of
Inn. God,
yeah. See, you're looking for some type of correlation. Does it ruin you? Can you not go there anymore? Does it? I mean, does it cut that deep?
If Chris would have known me back in the day, I would tell all my friends that you know what? You go to church. Go to like a hobby club.
No,
you know,
everybody
to
says
meet your,
that.
Your wife. Don't go to a bar, especially in a college town.
Yeah.
It can only end poorly.
Or
how
AA.
How are you striking up a conversation at church, or as my mom used to tell me too, at the market? I would like purposely bump my cart into somebody. First of all, when I was a bachelor, I didn't have a cart. I would just bring the basket. What am I going to do? How am I going to initiate conversation?
Should have a pet or a kid.
Ooh, see the
pet.
Oh,
telling women in Omaha love a pet or a kid.
You're right.
A guy.
You're right. Anytime especially when he was a baby and I had Reese in the old stroller.
Oh, take him to Target?
And yes.
Oh, or you have your pick of the SUVs and minivans.
Or actually when he sits in the shopping cart and he and I are just doing some solo shopping because mom's working. Oh, you get a lot of looks because he's a cute kid. I don't mind saying he's a cute kid, but dogs As long as it's,
I think you should let some of our
dog.
Single men out there borrow your kid.
You guys want to borrow him?
See, as a test.
That's a hustle.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a good side hustle.
It'll help his immune system and everything. I mean,
if the price is right.
Give me the stroller. I'll take him on, I walk the Keystone Trail, and we'll see if I can experiment.
If you really want to really this wow the thing. Ladies, don't go the stroller, my man. Put the baby Bjorn on where he's dangling with you. But you have him face out so he can see the oncoming traffic. That way they know what he looks like, too.
That's what I do with the dog.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of conversations.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
It's fishing with dynamite. Huh? That's what it is.
Mike says, Kearney State College.
Kearney State.
As a Loper alumni, I can tell you many stories about Kearney from 80 to 84. The Playpen Lounge had nickel pitchers on Monday nights with a hefty $2 cover. I wonder why I barely graduated.
Monday Night Football?
I'm going to guess that the Playpen Lounge is no longer open.
Let's look. Yeah.
We got a lot of questions for Ryan Helt tomorrow that'll have nothing to do with...
Why is every time we bring up Kearney, we get...
Uh-oh, it actually turns up here. Does it exist?
We get down this rabbit hole because I was talking about there.
I think it does.
It's not the Omaha back lot.
It's a good town, man. I've been to a Tri-City Storm game. They get after it.
Kearney's fun. I've never spent more than a weekend there, but I've always had a good time. Now...
From visitkearney.org, West 21st Street in Kearney, the Playpen Lounge. It still very much exists.
Okay, so if I were to tell you that there
that's
was...
about 50 years.
They got a Metallica pinball machine in there.
So remember we brought up there, it's, again, not related to the franchise here in Omaha. The Backlot, which was a strip club by day, bar by night.
Yes, Playpen's still there.
If I were to tell you that, okay, there's Playpen, there's Playpen Lounge and there's Backlot, wouldn't you think the strip club would be a Playpen Lounge?
It looks amazing.
The Playpen does?
Yeah.
Well, everything in Kearney's.
My kind of team, Charlie.
For people that are texting or emailing at the Playpen, make sure that you do not have autocorrect on your text, that it adds an I and E, an I and an S to the end of pen. we have a listener whose bestie used to own it. Cops would hang out at the Playpen Lounge in Kearney.
Okay. For all of our Kearney aficionados, too, do you all remember the Learjet Club? There was a night that, again, during a baseball tournament that I wasn't that old, but the guys I was with were a lot older and had no business being at what was a younger audience dance club. It was called the Learjet Club. Oh, it smelled funny.
Boring times in Crime Town and Swim Town. We got to go to Central Nebraska. Alex asked a question here. Back to football. More of an impact this year as a freshman. Barney on offense or Shavers on defense? Both are getting spring mentions. One.
V9.
One a little bit more than the other.
That's going to be that's a good question right there, too, because I'm afraid where this might have went. But
you'll see.
Oh, okay. But yeah, going back to in the reputation that Shavers is getting, and you talked about him yesterday, too. To be able to stand out on that defense out of the gate, too, I think it's impressive. And so, given the rotation and the bodies that Tony White has used, that would be where my money is right now.
So, Ja'Cory Barney's going to be a good player at Nebraska, but he's a little light in the shorts. I would think right now he would be a redshirt guy, but will play four. He got it a little bit bigger. I don't know what's going to happen to him getting off the line of scrimmage, which Nebraska must be better with their wide receivers getting off the line of scrimmage and 50-50 balls. And you had a couple of guys that are 6'3", 6'4". You're thinking the 50-50 ball will be better. But on press coverage, which was a topic yesterday, I'm glad they brought that up, they've got to be better at that. Barney will be good, but he can't always just have speed to beat guys off the line of scrimmage in man-to-man coverage. Vincent Shaver. So this is how I'm judging college football teams this year. Every game, I'm going to go down to the field, and with my eyeballs, I'm going to judge how good a team is and where you're headed. Because I'm going to use Georgia as an example. If you went to on the field, even at their spring game, G-Day, last weekend, and you looked at their team, they got dudes. They got dudes that are scary. They got fellas. Nebraska is acquiring those players, but they do not have a plethora. Like if you looked at Ohio State, Ohio State has dudes. Just eyeball. You haven't watched them take a snap in a game. They're just warming up. You can go, they got dudes. They got scary dudes. I will say this about Vincent Shavers, and he's part of the Miami connection, which is great that they are going to get on the field and they're making noise and they're happy and they have a plan for him. Is Vincent Shavers is extremely coachable, but something that was discussed yesterday about this turnover margin thing, which Nebraska is trying to talk into existence, and I think for Nebraska to get to where they want to be, and not just a middling pack Big Ten team, but be in that top, you know, let's break it down into three tiers, to be in that first tier, maybe the sixth or seventh best team in the Big Ten, they probably have to be in the range of plus 12 to plus 15 in the turnover margin. Just history tells you that.
Yeah.
But to get that way, you need guys that are going to create havoc on defense, whether it be rushing the passer, mauling a wide receiver, or a big sports center hit. Vincent Shavers is a violent person. Very coachable, very talented, can be very violent, and he also fits the bill as if I'm on the field and I'm just watching guys warm up, he's a dude. He's a dude. He looks like a dude. He looks older than a freshman. So that's where I will go, and he will play this year, and I think it's a huge benefit that he was here early. He's just a football player, man. He's a hit sticker. They need more hit stickers. If they're talking about creating turnovers, they need guys that have violent intentions that are going to pop somebody and that ball's coming out. Whether it be as a wide receiver across the middle that pops into the air and somebody picks it off, or a running back that's coming right at you and you hit them and you put your helmet, you put your hat on the ball and the ball comes free. They need more guys that are hit stickers. And I think Vincent Shavers is on the path to being one of those guys.
It's been lacking. It's a good point. Because you also put a little bit of the fear into coming over the middle. You put a little bit of fear of getting into that second level. You got guys that are zoning in on you. So, yeah, it's that's something goes a long way because we always talk about what are the DBs doing or what are they doing with the pass rush. But Ed, it's another element that is improved as this defense has been. That's also something that we haven't seen enough of here as of late.
Here is Dave in SWFLA. Hello.
Good morning, Gary. You're speaking to my heart here talking about the old playpen.
Yeah, I think the bat signal went out when I started talking about that because you are a Kearney guy.
Oh, yeah. There's been three generations of family members that have darkened the bar stool in that place.
All right. So, best story?
Best story. Jeez. I tell you the most recent one. When I was back last July, I actually watched the Crawford-Spence fight at the playpen.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
All right.
But there is many of stories from my father having a slow pitch softball team for the Playpen Lounge for many of years in Kearney.
What's the logo?
It is, what was it? I think it just, the sign out front is, I believe, just a red sign and it just says Playpen. They might have been pennant shaped like the old baseball pennants back in the day, but I believe that right now it's just a red O sign. My dad was best friends with John, the owner, for, well, they still are. I mean, 40 some years later.
That's cool. All right. It's also great that the guy still owns it.
Well, yeah. I think he may have sold the building, but he still owns the business from my understanding. But it's one of the longest standing bars out there in Kearney.
All right, could an outsider that's just traveling along I-80 fit in there?
Maybe.
Is this like a local place so everybody knows everybody's name?
Oh, yeah. I go in there. Right. You know, I take my yearly trip back, and I walk in there. It's one of the first places I stop. It's like I never left. The same people are sitting in the same spot that they were a year ago.
Hey, so also tell me, since you are Mr. Kearney, what do you know about the Learjet Club?
Oh, Learjet. That's been about three or four different places. That was out towards the west campus of Kearney. And there was a lot of shenanigans went on out there. That was your Kearney's college dance club.
Yep.
Is what that was.
And we weren't in college when we went.
No. It was
a lot of creepy old guys.
You went downtown and you hit all the spots then. Backlot had penny pitchers and then about 11:30 midnight when you were feeling good. That's when you'd head out to O'Lear Jets.
So, okay, Dave, I need some clarification. So when we were out there a couple of times for baseball, and this was when I was of age to drink, we met some other coaches over at Backlot, and they walked out with a big old grin on their face saying, yeah, it's not what you think it is. It was, am I mistaken? Was it, it was a strip club during very odd hours, and then it just turned into a bar at night?
Yes, that is correct.
That's weird.
I want to say the dancing ladies started about mid-afternoon, and then they would run till about 6 or 7, and then it would turn into college night. They would do penny pitchers. They would do like a Vegas night. They would do stuff like that.
That catered to the dinner crowd.
That's right. Unfortunately, the back lot or the feed lot, as it was awful called, is no longer there.
Feed lot.
It's a dinner club.
That's amazing.
Hey,
there was a circuit that the ladies would travel, and they would usually go from Kearney to Holdridge and make it out as far west as McCook.
Oh. It's like the Globetrotters.
Boy, I bet that was...
Yeah. Okay, do they have like a bus?
The Savannah Bananas.
I don't know. I never seen their travel means. We stayed away from that sort of stuff.
Wow. Where has Kearney been all my life?
Well, hey, you know the logo. You can't spell drunk without UNK.
Yep.
I know. That's what they should promote with the Visitors and Convention Bureau.
They should.
Come see the arch and then, you know.
I still don't know what that thing is.
It goes over I-80.
Yeah, I went one time. It's nothing.
Well, Bill Clinton came there, I believe, in 2000, so that was probably its claim for fame.
Who went to the arch?
Probably. Thank you for the update on the playpen. I've got it on my list now to go see. Thank you, my friend.
Well, yeah, and go right down the alley to the Palm Gardens, and you'll hit the whole circuit.
Yeah, Palm Garden, I'm being told, has bands on Mondays and $2 pitchers.
That sounds really fancy, too, by the way. Palm Gardens in Kearney. I feel like you need a reservation or something. By the way,
I thought I went to a great party school.
M. Bigley in the stream says, the triangle of love, Holdridge, McCook, and Kearney.
Hey.
Who knew?
I ain't going to judge. Everybody's got to make a bag. Okay?
Like all a right. circuit.
I just know that in Lincoln, our circuit for the Royal Grove Amateur Night.
Oh, I've heard stories.
Was Kansas City. Kansas City, Lincoln.
Okay.
They skipped over Omaha.
Yeah, that's when you know. Well, there was nothing going on in Omaha at that time. Other than maybe Creighton students making their way out. I mean, Omaha was a commuter campus at the time.
Fremont Fred says an establishment in Fremont was also on the circuit. They probably did Kearney and Ainsworth.
I wonder which establishment that was.
Some people are in the circus. Some people are strippers. And they do the tour of Nebraska.
Yep. You're here on a Thursday, you wrap it up on a Sunday.
And you wrap it up every day.
I mean, just look at the beautiful part of the state you get to see. And you get to make a little money at it as well. I mean, it's the American dream.
Yeah.
Right? Or it's like Ricketts or Pillen's dream. Anybody that's been the governor.
It's their dream.
They're like, hey, go see outside of Lincoln and Omaha and make some money in our state. And you know what? Stay.
Yep.
Here's the governor for the feedlots.
Hey,
some nights when you have a rough night, you end up staying because you have to.
That is true. Right. And who knows? Maybe you'll meet your future Mr. or Mrs.
Nothing wrong with that.
During that circuit.
Everybody's trying to get out of the state. We just had people that wanted to come into the state.
Oh.
Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.